The following program does not necessarily represent the views and opinions of Reality Radio 101, its advertisers and sponsors, or its listening audience. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to the Spirit of Faith Talk Radio with your host, Pastor John Ward, right here on Reality Radio 101. To get on board, dial 905-725-1907. Toll free in North America, 1-866-905-7325. Worldwide, 1-866-656-5477. Send us an email right now. Our email address is instudio101@gmail.com. And now, right to your host of the Spirit of Faith Talk Radio, Pastor John Ward.
Praise the Lord, everybody. God is good. I bid you greetings on this beautiful, cold winter evening in Toronto. It's cold out there, and we just got a whole bunch of snow the last couple days. But in the midst of it, Jesus is Lord. And I'm so glad to be with you tonight. I just love every single one of you. It's such a privilege to be on the air with you every Sunday night. I'm telling you, it is an honor to be with you. I get lots of emails and feedback from people about how much this radio time blesses you, but I'm telling you, it blesses me. I really look forward to it. And so I'm glad to be with you. And I really encourage you right now to let some folks know that we're live on the air. I've got something really on my heart tonight. I want to talk about serving God with a pure conscience and what that means. And, you know, a lot of people ask me, you know, how do you live by faith? How do you walk by faith? How do you walk with God? How do you be a good Christian and all this kind of stuff? And walking and having a pure conscience is so much a part of it. And so God really put that on my heart to talk about tonight. Right now, I really encourage you to let folks know that we're live on the air. Forward the link. Get on Facebook. We're on Facebook Live right now. You can listen on realityradio101.com, and you can also watch on Facebook Live. If you're saying, well, how do I get to the Facebook Live link? Well, we have a brand new website, which is spiritoffaithradio.com. That's spiritoffaithradio.com. And you can go to our website, and at the bottom, there's a Facebook link. Click on there, and that'll bring you right to us. Or you can just search for us on Facebook, which is Word of Faith, or you can go to my personal one, which is John Ward, W-A-R-D, and you can see us live, praise God, in the studio. So once again, let folks know that we're on the air, and realityradio101.com. You can email us tonight at instudio101@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. If you're a first-time listener, if you have a Bible question, or if you have something you want to talk about, something you want to share with the listeners, you can call us right now, toll free at 866-905. I just lost it.
7325.
7325. Thank you, Carrie, always our faithful producer. Praise the Lord. And email us, instudio101@gmail.com. Love to hear from you tonight. Let's get started. We're going to pray. We need God's help. And so let's pray, and then we'll get right into the Word. We're going to get your Bibles. We're going to do a Bible study tonight. We're going to start in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you glory and praise and honor. Father, we thank you tonight for your love and for your faithfulness and for your mercy. We thank you for all that you've done. We thank you for all that you're doing. We thank you that you are a very present help in the time of trouble. We pray for our radio audience, whatever they might be going through right now, whatever tests or trials or situations or whatever they're crying out to you for. Father, we just get on board right now and we thank you for answering their prayers. We thank you for helping them tonight. Father, we bless this radio audience. Thank you for every person listening tonight. And as those tune in tonight, we thank you for your blessing upon each and every one of them. Let us flow and go in the way that you would have us to go. We commit this time, this next hour to you. And we thank you, Lord, for this radio audience having a blast week. As we approach this coming week, we bless each and every one. And we thank you for it now in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to begin reading with verse 13. As you're turning in your Bible right now, I encourage you to email us. We'd love to hear from you, instudio101@gmail.com. Or we've had a couple of callers the last few weeks. Love to hear from you as well. You can call us at 866-905-REAL. The information is at the bottom of your screen. Or if you look in the, if you're on Facebook, if you look there, you'll also see I put the information in when I tuned in. Praise God. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. We, having the same spirit of faith. Notice the Apostle Paul here says we. So he's not just talking about himself. He's not just talking about one person. As a matter of fact, he's quoting from the psalmist. In the margin of your Bible, at least in the margin of my Bible, it directs me to Psalms 116, verse 10, which is where this comes from. And Paul is quoting from Psalms, and he says, we having the same spirit of faith. Notice it's not just me in my spirit, but he's talking about the spirit of faith. And of course, we know that the Bible calls Holy Spirit the spirit of truth, which is the spirit of the word of God. He's the spirit of faith. He's the one who is with us, who will never leave us. John 14 says, nor forsake us. He's always with us. He's the one that we can boldly declare, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man can do unto me. Holy Spirit is our help. No matter what we're going through, no matter what we need, we've got someone on the inside. As a matter of fact, the name Holy Spirit, Jesus called him another comforter. And the word comforter is the word paraclete. The word paraclete in the Greek means that he is, this is my favorite definition, he is your standby. He is your help. He is your comforter. He is your counselor, which means he's your lawyer. He is there to help us no matter what we are going through. And thank God, he is not just a spirit. He is God Almighty. He's just as much God as the Father, just as much God as Jesus. He is God. And for the born-again believer, the one who has received Jesus into their heart, he lives with you. He's always with you to help you and to strengthen you no matter what you're going through. And he says, we, verse 13 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, having the same spirit of faith according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. Remember the five basic elements of faith. Number one is that faith comes by hearing. Number two, faith comes by receiving. You have to receive the word of God. Sometimes we don't agree with the word. Sometimes your mind doesn't make sense of the word. So many have wrestled with the word of God to their own destruction because they're trying to understand the word of God with their mind. The word of God was never intended for your mind. Jesus said, the words I say unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The word of God is spiritual. It's not mental. It's not emotional. It is spiritual. One of the greatest, I call it a compliment, but people think that it's a put down, is being called a fundamentalist. People have called me a fundamentalist for years. They said, what? You believe the Bible exactly for what it says? Yeah, I believe every word that's in the Bible. I believe that God meant exactly what he said, and he said what he meant. Does my mind always understand it? Does it always line up with my circumstances? No, but God is God, and God doesn't change. And sometimes that's what we have to do. We have to enter into the spirit of faith and believe what God said, even though it doesn't make sense. The Bible says four times, the just shall live by faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says that we walk by faith and not by sight. The intentions of this radio show is to build your faith and starve your doubts, to help us in our walk with God. Praise the Lord. So we have in the same spirit of faith, we believe, therefore we speak. Number one, faith comes by hearing. Number two, faith comes by receiving. Number three, faith comes by believing. You got to make a choice. I am going to trust in, adhere to, rely upon this word. Number four, faith comes by speaking. And we just read it. We having the same spirit of faith, as it is written, I believe, therefore have I spoken. Without speaking, there is no faith. And finally, James tells us that faith without works is dead. Faith without corresponding action is not faith. It's an empty body, if you will. The Bible says that as the body is dead without the spirit, so faith is dead without works. We must put action with what we believe. Praise God. Got an email here tonight from John. John Traver says, hello, Pastor. Sounding and looking great here in Prince Albert. Thumbs up to you, John. Prince Albert, Saskatchewan. Faith in God is everything. Thank you for reminding us. You know what it is, John, and it's amazing how much persecution churches that call themselves anything connected to faith have received. People say, healing's not for today. Prosperity's not for today. I don't know what Bible you're reading, but those two things that people condemn all the time are in one verse, 3 John verse 2. He says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. God wants you prospering in financially. God wants you prospering physically. And it's all connected to how your soul is prospering. That's why he said in James, receive with meekness the engrafted word of God, which is able to save your soul. Able means it's pregnant with provision. The word of God is able to heal you, to cleanse you, deliver you, prosper you, bless you in every area of your life. It's able, but it's proportionate to how your soul is prospering. That's why we have to receive with meekness. The word meekness means gentleness, teachableness, the word of God, which is able to soteria, save, deliver your soul. Praise God. Amen. Thank you for that, John. We have another email here from Sherry. If this is the same Sherry I'm thinking of, we used to work together as paramedics years ago. Hi, John. My husband is going through some trouble. I'm going to kind of paraphrase here. I need to know how to stay in this marriage. Some days are so hard, but I really love him. Praise God. It's tough when you're going through stuff like this. And the Bible says that we can come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help. And when you're going through difficulty and it looks like, how am I going to face tomorrow? How am I going to get through this? The key is obeying the word of God. You must do what the word of God says, no matter how it looks, no matter how you feel, no matter what the other person is doing. And God is able to help. God is able to deliver. He knows exactly what you're dealing with. He knows exactly what you're going through. The Bible says that Jesus is touched with the infirmities just like we are. And he's right there in the middle of it to help us. So let's pray and believe God. I was talking to my congregation today about the power of prayer and how important it is to pray and how important it is to release the power of God into your situation. Listen, you can do all kinds of stuff. You can go to the doctor, you can go to therapy, you can go to counseling, you can do all kinds of stuff, but God is able to get in the middle of this thing and deliver it. So let's not talk about it anymore. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come together right now concerning this situation. And Father, we know that your hand is not short, that you cannot touch this. And you said we can come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy. and find grace to help in the time of need. So, Father, we lift up this precious person right now. We lift up this family. We lift up this situation, and we pray for deliverance from every attack of the enemy. We pray right now that you are bringing freedom into this family's life and restoring this family. Father, we believe we receive it. We thank you right now for it. We declare peace, shalom, wholeness, nothing missing, nothing broken. In Jesus' mighty name, praise God. Amen. Thank you so much. Another email here from Cameron. Cameron says, hello, Pastor, new listener from Yellowknife, Northwest Territories. Okay, here's a question that is controversial for you. I am really trying to understand this. Your radio show is called Spirit of Faith, which is the emphasis on faith in everything that you preach. My question to you is this. Is it fair or even rational for God to hide himself for us here on the earth so that he can only be known by this so-called faith, then insist that every single human being find him by picking the right belief system, Christianity in parentheses, when there are literally hundreds of other belief systems out there on earth? I think that that is a very fair question to ask, Pastor, or anyone else who is faith-driven, quote-unquote. Thank you. Cameron, it's a great question, and it's a huge question. So let's start with the basics. Number one, is it fair for God to do the way that he has done it? Well, number one, God is always fair. God's plan from the beginning was to have children and to have someone that he could fellowship with. And so he made someone like him. The Bible says that we are made in the image and in the likeness of God. We are spirit beings, just like God is a spirit. John chapter 4 says that God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so seeking after God is something that he has put in the heart of every person. God is not going to make anyone worship him. And you think, well, why has God made so many different religions and then somehow isolated and said that there's only one way? God didn't make a whole lot of religions. The devil has made a whole lot of religions. If you haven't figured it out yet, the devil is a religious God. And what the devil does is he twists everything that God has made. Let me try to break it down a little simpler for you. The Bible says that before Satan was Satan, his name was Lucifer. Lucifer means light bearer, and he was a cherubim. He was a type of angel, and God made him, and God made him to bear light. God created him and created him to do certain things. But Lucifer, the Bible tells us in Ezekiel 28, I believe it is, that Lucifer one day decided that he could exalt himself above the stars of God and cause God's creation to worship him. And in that moment, pride was found inside of him, and he turned away from God, and God kicked him out. The Bible says in Luke chapter 19, I'll have to look it up, but in the book of Luke, the Bible says that Jesus saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. He was kicked out of his position of authority, and he was separated from God. Well, Satan now has been on the earth. We don't know how long. Some believe millions of years. Of course, man has only been here for 6,000 years, right around 6,000 years now. The Jews say about 5,800 years. Regardless, he's been here on the earth for who knows how long, and man's been here about that long, and he's been tricking man ever since. If you go back to the time in the garden, you find that the serpent came into the garden from the field, and he was one of the most subtle beasts in the field. He got into the garden, and he tricked woman. She was deceived, and he's been tricking people ever since. And so the same devil that tricked woman has been deceiving man. You say, well, why are you picking on the woman? I'm not picking on the woman. I'm telling you what the Bible says. It says that the woman was in deception, but the man was in transgression. In other words, the man knew what he was doing when he chose to sin against God. And ever since then, Satan has been tempting and tricking man with religion. If you go back and read in Genesis chapter 6 about the Tower of Babel, you'll find out that there was at one time on the earth only one language, and they began to make a religious tower to try to go to God and tell God what they really think because they wanted to rebel against God. And that's when God confused all of the languages. It's interesting that there is a Bible software and a Bible program called Babel. Where does it come from? It comes from the Tower of Babel, or Babylon, a Babylonian system, which is a system without God. And so all these religions are systems of man trying to serve God or trying to make God what they want God to be. But I got news for you. There is one God, and there is only one God. And you say, well, why is it Christianity? Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. His son is Jesus Christ. And if you believe in him, you receive eternal life. The Bible says in Acts that it was in the first church called Christians in Antioch. And they were called Christians because they acted like Christ. Well, what happened? When they got born again, Christ came to live inside of their heart, and they started to follow the Holy Spirit. They started to live by faith. The spirit of faith took up residence on the inside of them, and they began to follow the Holy Spirit. If you look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 14, Romans chapter 8, verse 14, the Bible says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Cameron, God is fair. Was it Cameron that wrote that email? Yeah. Cameron, God is fair and God is just. The Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes that God has set eternity in the heart of every man so that we might follow after him. If you read in the book of Acts, when Paul was ministering to the Greeks, he was talking about how the Greeks had all of these different statues, and they were very superstitious, and they believed in all these different gods and all this Greek mysticism and all this kind of stuff. But he talks about how God, it's Acts chapter 20, I believe, about how God wanted each person to follow after him, that if they would simply seek him, they would find him. Let me find the verse for you real quick. Go to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 17 and verse 27. Praise the Lord. Beginning with verse 22. Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill, and said, you men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For I passed by and beheld your devotions, and I found an altar with this inscription to the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship. Him declare I unto you. You know, Romans chapter 10 says that it's through the foolishness of preaching that God has chosen to save them that are lost. Why did he choose it this way? Because he wants to give every person an opportunity to choose. God's not going to force anybody to serve him. It's a choice. But listen, the deal is that I am not a religious person. You've heard me talk about it. I meet people all the time and they say, oh, if my family member could just meet the Lord. I know there's people listening right now. Maybe you're praying for your husband. Maybe you're praying for somebody that you work with. You're praying for a neighbor, and you just want them to have that revelation that God is real. You say, well, you know, like John wrote a few minutes ago, Cameron, about faith. Faith is not something that you just believe with your head. Faith is not something that's not tangible. Faith becomes reality in your life. Praise the Lord. Continuing here in Acts 17, he says, whom therefore you ignorantly worship him, declare I unto you, verse 24, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwells not in temples made with hands. So he's not, you know, in a box, the Holy Eucharist that some people, they almost worship that box because they think that somehow part of Jesus is on the inside. I'm not trying to make fun of anybody or make anybody feel bad, but why do we do that? It's not in the Word of God. The Bible says that God is not dwelling in temples. God's not dwelling in boxes. God is dwelling in the spirit of those that believe him. Now, if I'm knocking over some sacred cows, good. Praise God. Verse 25, neither is God worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing that he giveth all life and breath and all things and has made of one blood, ethnos, all nations, all ethnic groups, all of men to dwell on the face of the earth. God made every single human being through Adam. And has determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation or where they live, that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel. It's interesting that he would use that word, that they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. God is real. God is alive. God is wonderful, and his plan is wonderful. And the reason I believe that he has chosen faith is because he wants people to trust in him freely. The word faith comes from the Greek word pistis, which means to rely upon, to have total confidence, to be persuaded. And so God has chosen for us to seek after him and to find him. I found him. And I'm sticking with him. Praise God. Thank you for your email. We have another email here tonight from, praise God, amen, my friend. And I thought she was mad at me, but I'm so glad she is, and I was really concerned about that. We prayed for her just a few minutes ago. So glad to hear from you, and I'm going to be continuing to pray for you and your family. Bless you. Praise God. Another email here tonight from Olga. Olga says, hello. From Novosibirsk, Russia. I don't know if I'm saying that right, Gary. Any clue?
That's correct.
Did I say it right? Or you're guessing
that,
too?
No. That's correct. And that would be, I looked it up. Right now, you are 8 hours difference.
Wow. Praise God. Blessings to you in Russia. We are listening to you here in very cold weather. Hey, Olga, write us back. Or Gary can probably look it up. How cold is it? Because
we're
in Canada,
right,
and I'm telling you, it's cold in Canada. Praise God. But I'm going to be in Texas tomorrow. I'm heading to a minister's conference. I was just telling Gary that it was 1 year ago that God introduced us. And, you know, God will bring divine relationships into your life, and you really need to be sensitive when he does it. And we've been on the air now since April, but it was 4 o'clock on a cold January morning that I met Gary. He was an Uber driver, driving Uber, check this out, in order to donate money to Sick Kids Hospital in Toronto. We got a great man here who is our producer. We thank God for Gary.
I got the temperature.
In Russia?
Okay, yes. It's minus one Fahrenheit.
Okay.
Or in Celsius, minus 18.
And what is it here in Fahrenheit?
I don't know. Let me look that up real quick.
Praise God. Let's go to the next email. Got another email here. If you'd like to email us tonight, you can email us at instudio101@gmail.com. Love to hear from you. If you'd like to call and talk to me on the air, you can call 866-905-REAL. If you have a Bible question, if you have a praise report, if you'd like to share something with the listening audience, email us instudio101@gmail.com. If you're a first-time listener, shoot me a quick email. I'd love to hear from you and know that you have now tuned in, and let us know how you know and where you're listening from.
And the weather here is minus 8 Celsius in the Toronto GTA area.
So what is that in Fahrenheit?
And what is that in Fahrenheit, Mike? We're checking for you.
Praise God. So we got another email here from Joanne. Joanne says, hello, I cannot remember where it is in the Bible that it states, but the Bible says God does not desire that anyone perish. Well, there's multiple places, Joanne. I'll give you a few in just a second. But also states that the majority of humankind is going to hell. Doesn't this show that God's plan of salvation is a failure for the human race? So why should we care? It makes absolutely no sense. Listen, number one, eternity is a reality. So we should care. You know, one thing that we know as Canadians or Americans or wherever you're from is that two things are for sure. Number one, you're going to pay taxes unless you want to go to jail. If you live in Canada, the United States, you don't pay taxes, they lock you up. Number two, we're all going to die. Every single one of us. And you live long enough, you go to a lot of funerals, and death becomes a reality. When I got saved, my prayer to God, and I love your question, by the way, I'm so thankful that you wrote in. My question to God when I got saved was, God, if you are real, let me know. So you would put me in the category of an agnostic. I came to a place where I wasn't really even sure that God was real. And I was sitting there in Iron County, Michigan, way up in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, in the middle of nowhere. And I was right by the Iron County Airport, sitting on a in the middle of the woods in November. It was November 15th, 1993. And I said this prayer. I said, God, if you're really real, let me know. And all of a sudden, this reality came in. And number one, I was scared of dying. And I thought, somehow I knew that if I died at that moment, I was going to go to hell. Maybe it was because of my Catholic upbringing. Maybe it was because the Holy Spirit of God was just making it so plain to me. And I'm scared at that moment. I get down on my knees. I said, God, if you're real, let me know. And before I knew it, I said, God, if you're real, I'll follow you. And I said, Jesus, who, you know, somewhere I knew, I'd heard about Jesus. I said, Jesus, forgive me of all my sin. I give you my life. And at that moment, this fear of dying and this fear of hell just lifted right off of me. And all of a sudden, because I was so, hell was such a reality at that moment that my body was tingling. I was shaking. I was crying. I'm by myself in the middle of nowhere, not at a church, not at an altar. I'm by myself in the middle of nowhere. Remember what we just read from Acts. He said, if happily you would cry after him, you would find him. And I cried after him and I found him. That was 26 years ago. Changed my life forever. I didn't find religion. I found God to be real, and I found God to be wonderful, and I found God to be a person who answers prayer, a person who loves me. No matter what I go through, how bad I mess up, he loves me. He's never messed up. He's never failed, and yet he has chosen to love me, and so I choose to receive his love. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 2, I think it's verse 5, he says that God is not willing that any perish, but that all come to the knowledge of the truth. The truth is the word of God, and the truth is Jesus. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Praise God. And then the Bible also tells us in Peter that God is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but he is long suffering to all of us, not willing that any perish, but that all come to the knowledge of the truth. God doesn't want anyone to perish. But the reality is, Isaiah tells us that hell is expanding itself, that hell is getting larger and larger to receive all of those that reject God's love. Just like Eve had a choice. Just like Adam had a choice. If you even go back further, like Lucifer had a choice. No, God will not force anybody to serve him. He just won't. He loves us, but he also loves free will. And God is not a taskmaster. God is not an overlord. God is a wonderful God, and he loves us. And the plan that he has for us is beyond understanding. But this question is simply because you just don't know. But if you'll ask the Lord, he will reveal himself to you. If you believe in what God has said, and if you don't believe, just ask him. I was one of them agnostics. I didn't even know if there was a God. And yet I said, God, if you're real, let me know. And before I knew it, he revolutionized my life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right. Thank you so much for that email. We have another one here tonight.
If you'd like to, it is 18 degrees here.
18, so it's cold in Russia. But it was pretty cold here a few days ago. I think we were under zero Fahrenheit. Before that snow started yesterday, praise God. Email us tonight. We'd love to hear from you, instudio101@gmail.com. There's no stupid question. You're not going to offend us. You don't agree with us? Hey, that's fine. If you even want to tell us on the air, call us at 866-905-REAL. All the information is at the bottom of your web browser or there on Facebook. You can also tune in, or you can send in comments. Do we have very many comments right now on Facebook?
We're checking.
So we'd love to have you comment if you're listening on Facebook. Share us on Facebook. We're live right now. Praise God. We got another email here from Sherry. She says, "No, I could never be mad at you. I'm amongst friends and God when I listen to you. Thanks again for the beautiful prayer. Praise God. I try to listen every week, but sometimes I have to work." Hey, I understand. You know, I remember back when I was a paramedic, I could tell you one story after another, but for many years, I worked midnights, and I would listen to Kate McVeigh. I don't know if Kate's listening tonight. She's a wonderful evangelist. Kate McVeigh was on 103.5 FM in Detroit. I'd listen to her every night, and I'd listen to George Bogle. He'd have a prayer deal at night, and it was funny because I'd be in the front seat and my partner would be sleeping, and I'd be sitting there and I'd be reading my Bible, or I'd be listening to the radio or have headphones on, and I would just be in the Word. And man, I've been doing that for years and years and years now. Thank God for the Word. I remember one night, I'm not going to say who, but I had a partner who, you'd pretty much say he was an atheist. Grew up in a certain denomination, but he was an atheist. And he would make fun of me for my faith. He would criticize me. He would talk about me. I had a few different folks like that that I worked with, praise the Lord. But at the same time, one morning, I remember sitting at Post, right by Beaumont Hospital, and I was sitting there reading my Bible, and I just got inspired on the inside, and I asked him, I said, "Do you mind if I read this out loud?" And I read the book of Ephesians out loud, and by the time I got done, I read all six chapters, he fell asleep, and that was it. I think I fell asleep, or we got a call or something. And he told me 2 days later that when he was driving home that morning, we got off at 5 or 6 in the morning. When he drove home that morning, the power of God came on him. He started to feel this presence and he started to weep. And this reality of Jesus hit him. And he said, I had to stop. He pulled his car over on his way home and he gave his life to the Lord right there on the side of the road. Listen, I know many of you don't understand. Some of you that are writing in tonight, you don't understand God's plan. You don't understand why certain things are the way they are. But listen, number one, the answer is right in this book. That's what this book does. This book has the answer for everything. But it's not to be understood with your head. It's to be understood with your heart, which requires faith, believing what God says. And when you do, the understanding, the reality will come. The scripture tells us in Proverbs chapter 4, he says, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all of your getting, get an understanding." Understanding will come as you get wisdom. Well, what is wisdom? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1:30 that Jesus Christ is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, redemption, and sanctification. Jesus is made unto us wisdom. He said, get wisdom. What is wisdom? The Bible says in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. All things that were made by him, and without him was nothing made that was made. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is the Word. Jesus is wisdom. He said, get wisdom, and with all you're getting, get understanding. When you get Jesus on board, when you get Jesus in your life, understanding will begin to come. And when you don't have answers and you don't understand what's going on, you can pray and you can go to this Word and God will give you the answer. Every single answer of every single question is in this book. Gary, we've been on the air now for 38 weeks. Have we had someone call in that we were not with a question that we were not able to point them to an answer in the Bible?
No.
Not one time. Why? Because every answer is in here. You say, "Well, Pastor, you have the answers." I have no answers without Jesus. But in Jesus, I have every answer. And he is the answer, by the way. And every answer is in this book about everything. About deliverance, about healing, about marriage, about singleness, about money, about everything, about where you live. Everything, every single answer is in this book. Praise God. And we have a guide named the Holy Spirit who will guide us into all truth. Praise God. If you'd like to email us tonight, we'd love to hear from you. If you're a first-time caller, first-time listener, please email us at instudio101@gmail.com. Got another email here tonight from Steve. Steve says, if the sign of the times is now, and it is now, meaning the return of Jesus Christ and the end of the world as we know it is close, why bother finishing anything? Good point. There's an answer, but hold on. Do you really believe, I'm learning I need to read the whole email before I start answering the question. Do you really believe that our Lord will come in our lifetime? And I mean in the next 20 years. If so, what is the basis for that fact? Ooh, we're going to get into some stuff now. Then should kids stop going to school, stop experiencing sex? Should I quit my job and go live like a monk or something? Why bother going on with life the way that we do if his coming is coming soon and we are waiting for our Lord to appear and to take us to eternity anyway? What's the point? Like in the Bible, it says, is it like chasing the wind? Okay, so there's a few answers here, but I'm going to give you one based on what Jesus said. And this is what Jesus said in Matthew 25. Let me pull it up real quick.
I have some Facebook comments, if you'd like me to read those.
Sure, go ahead.
Good timing. Sherry DeVoe says, hi, David Castle, with a wave. Leslie Browden writes in and says, amen, and also a wave. Sherry DeVoe says, I'm a nurse now. And Sherry DeVoe is saying, in South Carolina, and I remember you listening to those radio shows. Pauline writes in and says, Pauline Eastman.
Okay.
Hello, Pastor. God bless you.
Praise God. Great to hear from all of you. Okay, so now the Bible tells us in Luke, we're answering the question, if Jesus is really coming in our lifetime, why not just give up on life and why not just become a monk or, you know, tell kids, you don't get married, don't do nothing because Jesus is coming. So, number one, here's what Jesus said. Let's go over to Luke. What verse do I want to start in? Luke chapter, where are we, 17? No, Luke 19. And let's begin Luke 19, verse 12. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. Now, the word occupy means get busy. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, that he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given money or given responsibility, that he might know how much everyone had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, your pound, or what you gave me, has gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well done, thou servant. You have been faithful in very little. Have thou authority over 10 cities? And the second came, saying, Lord, your pound has gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is your pound. I hid it, kept it in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. How did he know that? Thou takest up what thou layest not down, and reapest what thou have not sowed. How did he know that? And he said unto him, because that wasn't true. And he said unto him, out of your own mouth will I judge you, you wicked servant. You knew that I was an austere man, taking up, because that's what he believed, taking up what I have laid down, and reaping what I have not sowed. Not true, but he's saying what the man believed. Wherefore, why did you give not my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required my own with usury? So what Jesus said to his servants is, he said, occupy till I come. In other words, engage in business and get ready. And God told us what to do. If you read what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus was about to ascend up to the Father. And before he did, he gave his disciples instructions. And the Bible says in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, well, verse 16, and the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. He gave instructions to his disciples. Go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe whatsoever I've commanded you. Lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. So Jesus told us to get busy. He told us to go make disciples of all nations. The word teach here means to make disciples. What we're doing on this program through Spirit of Faith Talk Radio is making disciples, teaching folks. But this question that you ask about, you know, is all just vain and we if Jesus is soon to return, you know, we should just pull our head under a rock. No, man. If you know Jesus, then you want other people to know him too. Now, here's the answer to your question regarding when is the end. Well, notice he said, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world. So number one, we know that there is an end to this age. The word age here in the Greek is the word aeon. A-I-O-N in the Greek phonetically, and it means time period. Well, we understand from Scripture, and we understand from people that were born, if you read through Matthew chapter 1, all the begats about who begat who, we understand that from Adam until Abraham was 2,000 years. We understand from Abraham until Jesus, the Messiah, was 2,000 years. From Jesus till about now was 2,000 years. So it has been 6,000 years since God, since Adam was born and since God made Adam in the garden and gave him a body, 6,000 years. Now, 2 Peter, regarding end time events, tells us this. He says, be not ignorant, be not unlearned, be not unknowing of this one thing. And this is 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. As a matter of fact, let's take a minute and read a little more of this. We got a couple minutes. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. The second epistle, beloved, now write I unto you, in both which I stir up your pure mind, by your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers. Are you listening? Walking after their own lusts or earthly sensual desires, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since our fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Why is this day any different? Why do we think Jesus is coming in this day? You know, the Bible says that when Jesus comes, it would just be like in the days of Noah. What was happening in the days of Noah? Some scholars say that for 100 years, Noah was preaching the gospel. And you know how many people believed in Noah's day? 8, including himself. 8 people. How many people died in that flood because they refused to believe? But Noah, a preacher of righteousness, kept preaching for 100 years. And how many people did he get saved? 8. 8 people. And when the just before the rain began, the Bible says that God closed the ark. And he said it the same way it's going to be at the coming of the Son of Man. They will have marriage, giving in marriage, doing all these things just like Noah was doing. And then when that day comes and the door closes, then the judgment's going to come. That will be the end. That day is coming. Well, let's keep reading. Verse 5, for this they willingly are ignorant, willingly ignorant, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, flood, whereby the world that then was, this is before Adam, that when God came down, there had already been a flood in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. He says, the water standing out of the water, verse 6, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water, the first flood, perish. Well, we don't know if it was the first flood, second flood, third flood, but we know that Noah's flood was the last flood that would kill all of creation. But there had been floods before that had killed all of creation. And that's what he's talking about right here in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. We need to understand that there is a God and that there is a Savior. When Jesus was here on the earth, he preached, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. When John the Baptist was here before Jesus came, he was preaching, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. All the prophets of old, they preached, repent, and yet they were killed, they were persecuted, they were hated, yet they had a relationship with God. And every single person, the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Anyone who calls upon him can be saved. I told you about my experience in the woods. I told you about my partner who was listening to me reading the book of Ephesians and on his way home had to pull his car over because the power of God came on him. God wants to reveal himself to you. He wants to have a relationship with you, but he won't force you. He won't push himself on you. If you push him off, if you believe lies, that's up to you. There are millions and millions and millions going to hell, but there are also many going to heaven. But the choice is up to you. It's not up to God. You say, well, it's up to God. God chooses. No, no, it's not how it works. God has given every person free will. And he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish. It's our choice to believe in him and not perish. Noah believed in him. He made a choice. And the eight people that were saved with him that got in the ark, they were saved because they chose. The ones that stayed out and they drowned, they chose. All of it is a choice. We make a choice by the decisions and by our actions, praise God. He says here in verse 8, but beloved, be not ignorant of this. Well, let me read verse 7 one more time. Verse 7, but the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto the fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. You know, so many today are talking about global warming, and some want to say, oh, there's no such thing as global warming. You kind of got to be stupid to not believe in global warming. I mean, look at all the things that are happening in our world. Look at all the changes that are happening. I mean, it may only be 1 degree of change in the last 100 years regarding the temperature, but it's changing. Why? What's happening? I mean, you go to some islands in the Philippines, there's a volcano erupting, and in Hawaii, there's a volcano erupting, there's earthquakes, there's hurricanes, there's tsunamis, there's wars, there's rumors of wars. All these things Jesus said would come to pass. And what Jesus called these are the beginning of sorrows. And that's the place where we are in right now. We're at the place of beginning of sorrows. And notice here what he says in verse 8, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that a day. Now think about this for a minute. He says, don't be ignorant of this one thing, not many things, one thing, regarding end time events. Now, you can't apply this to everything, but you apply this to end time events because he's talking about judgment. He's talking about the coming of the Lord. And he says, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. And you can find the same type of language in Psalms 90, verse 6. He says, a day to the Lord is 1,000 years and 1,000 years as of a day. What is he talking about? Well, in Psalm 90, he says, teach us to number our days that we may apply our heart unto wisdom. Man's only given 120 years to live down here. And most don't make it past 70, 80, 90, maybe. Most don't live that long. Why? Because of sin. And this world is dying. You say, well, there's no such thing as global warming. No, there is such thing as global warming, but you can't stop it. You can't stop it. I don't care how much money you try to throw at global warming, you ain't going to stop it. Why? The earth is dying. It's being preserved by the word of God until the day of judgment, but the earth is dying. You're not going to save it. And soon, the Bible says that the earth is going to be burned up. And in the final judgment, after the millennial reign of Christ, after the white throne judgment, the earth will be refined by fire. And the Bible says there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. Glory to God. And that earth will remain forever, and man will live on this earth forever. Now, we who are alive now, the Bible says that we will become resurrected ones. We will become supernatural. We will become just like Jesus. But there are going to be human beings that are going to repopulate and live on this earth for all eternity. The earth was made for man for all eternity. Adam was meant to reproduce and have natural children to live on this earth forever, but sin came in. But sin will be destroyed because Jesus was raised from the dead, destroyed sin, destroyed the grave, and the last enemy, which is death, eventually will be destroyed. So if 1,000 years regarding end time events is like one day, and one day like 1,000 years, then how many days has it been since Adam was born? 6 days. And what happened on the seventh day? The Bible says that God rested on the seventh day. There is a millennial rest coming to the earth. The Bible calls it the day of the Lord. We spent 6 or 7 weeks talking about it in November and December. The day of the Lord is the millennial reign of Christ, and that's when Jesus sets up his kingdom. One of the reasons why the Jews were confused when Jesus came the first time is because they thought that when Messiah came, that he would come to establish his kingdom and he would rule with an iron rod. He is going to establish his kingdom. He is going to rule with an iron rod. But what they missed was Isaiah 53, that he first had to suffer. He first had to die. He first had to be buried and then give individuals a choice to believe on him and receive on him. You say, well, what about the people that died from Adam until Jesus? He preached to them first. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 that he led captivity captive and he preached to those that were in hell and he gave them the opportunity to accept him and receive him. Praise God. If you read about the rich man and Lazarus, you understand that the rich man was wicked and died and went to hell, but Lazarus was righteous. And the rich man went to hell. Lazarus went to a place called Abraham's bosom. And that's where Jesus went. And when he preached captivity captive, he preached to all the righteous dead that were in Abraham's bosom. You say, how do you know all this? Because I read the Bible. If you and I read the Bible, we won't be ignorant. Some of these questions, I'm not picking on anybody, but it's just because you don't know. And that's why Spirit of Faith Radio is on the air, to teach you the Word of God. This is not about religion. This is not about trying to figure things out on our own. This is about God has given us the Word of God, and he's given us the Spirit of grace, who is the Spirit of faith, who is the Spirit of truth on the inside, who will guide us through this book, and he will teach us the truth. Praise God. I'm preaching better than you're saying amen. Hallelujah. All right, let's see another email here tonight from Sherry, my friend. She says, I'm a nurse now in South Carolina. I remember listening to the Detroit radio stations with you so many nights. Do you remember when I lost my stethoscope and we found it after we prayed about it? Seemed like such a simple thing, but I was so happy we found it. God is great. Amen. No, I don't remember that. But I believe you. God always answers prayer. You know, I was talking recently about my days as a paramedic, and I got written up. I can't tell you how many times. I got written up by, I don't remember, I think just a couple partners. But I got written up and I got called into management. And long story short, they would ask me and they'd say, how is it? This one supervisor, those of you listening from AMR, from Paramed days, you know who I'm talking about, kind of an angry guy, but I love him and got to know him over time through various ways. But he asked me one time, he said, how is it that all these people, all these patients hear you preaching about Jesus? Why are you preaching to everybody? And I'll say, honestly, I don't bring it up. I honestly don't start the conversation about Jesus. It's just somehow it always goes to Jesus. What was happening? God was using me out there in that time. God was using me. I had so many partners get saved. I saw so many patients get saved. This one partner and I, he and I were partners for quite some time, and I forget what they called us. They called us like the gospel crew. Or something like
the
that.
Gospel crew.
So I can't remember. They
handle
were, they,
code three.
Exactly. They were picking on us some way. I got to tell you about this one call. We got called to Common Ground for this guy that was having a psychotic episode, and he was a cowboy. Had a cowboy hat on, big old Texas cowboy belt, and he was schizophrenic, was off his meds. And we pull up to Common Ground, and there's like eight Pontiac police officers there, and we go inside, and they're ready to rumble. They got their gun belts off. I mean, they're like, man, well, what happened when we're on the way? They told us what we were on our way to and how many police that police were on scene, and you were going to have to sedate this guy or whatever to get him to the psychiatric hospital. So my partner and I, we bound up those demons. We bound up those spirits. The Bible says in Luke 10:19, I give you authority over demons. So we bound it up. By the time we got there, I went into the room with this guy, and all these cops are ready to rumble. And I said, listen, my name is John, and I got to take you to this hospital. If you'll go with me, we won't have to deal with the police. We'll just get in the ambulance, and we'll go see the doctor, and then you can talk to the doctor about what's going on. We walked out of there, man. Their jaws were dropped down. They were ready. They thought they were going to have to go at this guy. But we have authority in the name of Jesus. God always answers prayer. Let me get to two quick last emails as we get ready to close for tonight. Ron says, hi, Pastor. So glad that you are on the air tonight with the weather and all. Thank you. That is all I wanted to say. Ron, thank you so much. Great to hear from you. And last email, Larry. Larry says, just wanted to say I'm loving it tonight. Fantastic show. Great teachings. Thank you, Pastor from Atlanta, Georgia. Listen, if you're enjoying this radio show, please share us. Let other folks know that we're on the air. We're on every Sunday at 8:30 p.m. We love coming into your homes. Love coming into wherever you're listening. If you're at the fire hall, if you're in the ambulance, if you're at the hospital on break, wherever you are, we love keep bringing you the word, and we always bring you the truth. Never, ever believe the words of a preacher. If he or she can't show you in the Bible, don't receive it. My friend, until next Sunday, know that God loves you. We love you. Remember that the devil is defeated, God is exalted, and Jesus is Lord. Keep fighting the good fight of faith.
Thank you for listening to the Spirit of Faith Talk Radio with your host, Pastor John Ward, right here on Reality Radio 101.